Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for this time that we have with all our brothers and sisters. And they are true brothers and sisters. And we praise you, Father, for the love that you put in our heart. Changed our heart to your heart, because that's what we want. We want to be able to love everybody. And we praise you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in us. You're getting us ready for this great happening that's going to happen. And Lord, place it in our hearts to want to walk this road that you have us on. And if we come to an obstacle that we don't want the obstacle, we want to get it out of the way. It's a mountain. We believe by faith that that mountain's got to go. And we praise you, Father, for it. And Lord, we ask that when you correct us, that we take that correction as love from you. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do and lead us into tonight. And I praise you for all provisions, protection, all the things that you promised us, Lord. You've given us the bold faith to believe in times of need that we all we have to do is call on you and you'll answer. And we don't ask anybody else. We just pray to you. You give it and we receive it. And Father, we just thank you for all that you're going to do in us tonight. I want to pray, Lord, for the orphanage over in across the sea there with the missionaries. And I thank you, Father, for your bold faith that you're placing in those people that are running that, going to run that orphanage. And we thank you, Lord, that the children that you want to be there will be there, and there will be food, clothing, and shelter, and the word of God for them all. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're going to do, that it would be a model orphanage of love, tenderness, and you, Lord, running the place. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, light us up tonight with your word. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Give us revelations into your word, Lord, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
My mom called me earlier today, and we're supposed to have on the 3rd of December, our family get together for Thanksgiving. And she found out today, which I didn't think she was going to have this for a while, but apparently there's a surgeon that's going to do it for her. They're able to get her in sooner, but she's going to have a neck surgery on the 1st. So I just want to pray about that. Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, this, that she doesn't have this neck surgery, Lord, that you just somehow, some way, either stop it, you know, or get my mom to realize, you know, she just wants to depend on you. Give her the faith, Lord. And Lord, you know, she wants to have her first knee surgery around February or so. And oh, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace upon my mom, Lord. I know she's in your hands. And I don't know how you're working all these things out and what you're doing, Lord. But I know you're preserving and keeping my parents, Lord, however that looks, you know. To heal them. I know you gave me a verse saying that, I forget where it's at, I think it's Jeremiah, that you're going to, for my parents, that you're going to give them new teachers or whatever. Basically, that's the man-child, Lord, and they're going to fully come into be believers in everything in your word, Lord. And I just, Lord, I just ask you to help my mom to realize that that's not how you work, Lord. You want the glory, Lord. And give her the faith, Lord, to believe in you. And I thank you, Lord, that she does have the faith to believe in you. And that she decides to trust in you and not man. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We just break the power of Farmer Kia off of her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for getting her eyes on you. And we praise you for it, Father, because you're her healer in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's done.
That's something I praise and thank the Lord every day that all my family is delivered from pharmakia.
Amen.
And brought out from among them. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it is done. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Myrna.
This isn't a prayer request. It's kind of more of a testimony. And anyway, we were on here last week and Claire asked for prayer for her and her family because they were studying the fruit of the spirit of joy. And they were really getting attacked. And so after we got off the conference call, I was spending some time in prayer. And the Lord told me to bind up joy-stealing spirits. And so I did that. And normally I just think of that as, you know, depression, despondency, discouragement, things like that. And but I felt like he was also quickening me in the spirit to think about that for myself. You know, what are the things that you allow to steal your joy? And so the very next morning I woke up and just woke up with a lot of oppression in the spirit and things going on with my body. And then I just had a lot of chores and things to do downstairs in the morning. And I wasn't happy about it. But I was trying to keep focused on the Lord and think about the Lord and keep a song going in my heart. But, you know, I knew that I wasn't holding up very well. And so anyway, we came up, Barry and I came upstairs later and I had to confess to him because he knows me so well. And I said, you know, I just want to repent of murmuring and complaining in my heart. And so we prayed. He prayed with me, stood in faith with me, and cast out a spirit of murmuring and complaining. It wasn't words coming out of my mouth, but it can, you know, for me, it was just an attitude. And, you know, murmuring and complaining is an evil heart of unbelief. And that's certainly going to affect your faith, all the things you're standing in faith for. But anyway, you know, beloved, stood in faith with me and I just believe I got delivered. It's just, I don't have that icky undercurrent, in my soul anymore. And, so I wanted to confess that because it is sin. And, but I also want to praise the Lord and thank the Lord that, to the praise of the glory of Father's grace, we are accepted in the beloved, and Jesus has redeemed us from all the power and the curse of sin and death. Amen. And that's it.
Amen. Praise God. All right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things at one time and I'm failing. Thank you. All right. Yes, Taylor, go ahead.
Well, Marilyn, I just have to say that when everyone prayed on Friday for my children, they came back into the house because I sent them outside to get some fresh air, and they came back with giggles and joy. And they honestly had giggles and joy for the majority of the weekend. That was really lovely. And we've had a really good time. This week is not patience, but I appreciate the prayers anyway. It's actually peace. So, but yeah, we're going through it. And Marilyn, your testimony blessed me. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for joy in the household, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? Okay, good. Yes, Patrick.
I need to sneak one in here before my daughter came down this weekend from Syracuse, which is 4 or 5 hour drive. And my grandson is autistic, and he's about 7 years old right now, and he needs to learn how to sit on the toilet, go to the bathroom. And and so we have been the Lord gave me woke me up about 5 o'clock in the morning Sunday basically told me to pray with my son-in-law and command that spirit that is holding him back, holding that my grandson from being able to have the desire to use the toilet. It's very interesting. You can see the communication is. It's with his name is Harlan, and it's hard to communicate because it's hard to, you know, get his attention type thing. But when you do, he locks on. I think I've told you about, he's got some very unique gifts that he speaks various different languages now. So there's just some very strange things happening there. But anyway, so before they left, I took my son-in-law out, and I, before they left, I was standing on the porch, and I asked him if he wanted me to pray for Harlan. And so he said, that's yes. So we did. I bound that spirit that is holding that back. Holding that desire, and I expect to see him breaking through using the toilet, basically. Obviously, it's a very difficult thing because he's going out to, he has his own classes that he goes to. He goes to school every day, and yet he's still, wearing, these potty pants or whatever. So anyway, it's clearly something that they don't have the ability, or quite frankly, any one of us has the ability to do, to change in his heart or to do anything like that. So I simply just left it in the Lord's hands to see him work that thing out. So I just say that as a confirmation. I want to just ask you all just to keep him in prayer and hold him up just to see that happen. That was as a result. I was I was trying to think of ways to bring the Lord into the environment, so to speak. And he took me to the scriptures of the parable of the sower, and our responsibility to sow the word. We can't necessarily sow faith. We can encourage faith, but the best that we can do is to, I believe, sow the seed of the word and allow that to germinate and take place in their lives and other people's lives. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Just ask for a prayer of confirmation that would happen. And I'm believing that it's in the process right now, if it hasn't already happened.
Amen. Did you say this was your grandson?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have authority, so we can pray and we can believe that we're going to break that autism off of him. Father, in the name of Jesus, you gave us authority.
I agree with you.
And Patrick is the grandfather. He's the patriarch of the family. He has authority, full authority, to pray healing on Harlan. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against autism in Harlan. We command it to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right there. You leave his brain right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for normal activity coming out of Harlan right now in the name of Jesus. We command autism to go and every symptom of it to leave him now in Jesus' name. We command the languages part to stay, though, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father. Harlan is healed, delivered, and set free from autism and all the symptoms of it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Everybody believe that?
Praise you, Lord.
Glory
Jesus.
To God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we are looking for the good report in Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ooh, my. Oh, amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is done. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Well, I have in my repertoire of wonderful people tonight a good testimony coming from a Raymond. Hey, Raymond Daniel, how y'all doing?
Very well, Mark.
I was gonna set her up real good, but I got to laughing. So.
You would have been preparing me all night, but I'm just like, oh, I'm too nervous, Lord. I can't talk. Like, I used to like really faint in the classroom, and the teacher used to tell me to. But yeah, pray for me, guys.
Okay. Let me pray for you right quick. Father, amen. In the name of Jesus, we command anxiety to go, and we command any kind of fear to leave her. We thank you, Father, for a great testimony of your glory, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, because you're going to hold her hand and walk her through this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all remember Rhema and Daniel, don't you? Yeah, praise God.
God bless everyone.
God bless. Right.
Go ahead.
I got deliverance from Claire, Rian, Daniel, and Michael and David about a week ago. But I think the Lord wants me to touch on why, because it's important. Because I've been with the Lord. I've been with the Lord 10 years, and I've been through deliverance a few times. But every time I did feel like there was something left, I didn't realize really what it was, but you know, I told people about it, and you know, told my dad about it, and they said, you know, just if you feel like there's anything, just believe in faith and pray that it goes and ask the Lord to reveal to you what it is and things like that. But I felt like in, especially in the last year, it's been really hard for me to sort of communicate with God or, you know, just personally fellowship with him properly and hear words back or hear prayers or even pray in faith. It's just like, I know he's real and like, you know, he couldn't, no one could convince me that he's not. And it's like, that's why I didn't understand what was going on. It's like, yeah, like, what's this, what's going on, Lord? Like, I believe in you. I know you're real. Like, I'm praying. Like, what's missing here? And, but like, there was, I think a lot of it was fear, and there was not trusting the brethren of the Lord just because of an experience that I had a couple of years ago. It was the only other person that I let do deliverance on me, and it was, you know, apart from my dad and just, you know, Derek Prince videos and stuff that I'll watch. And, you know, I just I saw this man on YouTube channel. He was like from Tasmania, and I was like kind of excited because I was like, oh, well, no, this man's from Tasmania. I haven't seen any of the YouTube channels that I follow that are from Tasmania, and he was posting all the sort of stuff and talking about the stuff I post on my channels. And so I was like, oh, getting excited. So I commented on there and asked if, you know, because he says he does deliverance, and I felt like, you know, that's, you know, my dad does a bit, but he's not like a, you know, full deliverance. He doesn't, you know, I don't know. There's just something that the Lord doesn't, you know, he's not a deliverance minister sort of thing. That's not his role. But anyway, I know, well, this man must have been his role, or he thinks it is, but I reached out to him and, yeah, he wanted me to call him straight away. He gave me his number and, you know, I just took a whim of faith because I've watched so many videos of him. I just felt like by watching his videos that I could trust him sort of thing. So he rang up and we had a nice conversation, you know, and then he asked me what I need help with, if I need deliverance. And I didn't really want to do deliverance over the phone. And with, like, it was just, but he put me on the spot sort of thing. And I was kind of ashamed of the things I was still involved in, and I didn't really know this man, and I probably should have discerned him a lot better. Sorry. I hate crying.
Don't hate crying.
I always cry all the time now. but Holy Spirit, help me talk, please. Yeah, we went through deliverance, and I told him the thing that I was most ashamed of, that I really didn't want to tell him, but I didn't want to lie. I just wanted it to go. So I took that chance, and he went through deliverance over the phone, and like I could feel like nothing was moving or shifting the atmosphere, and I just thought there was something wrong with me again. And then shortly after that, I invited him and his wife over to my dad's house to just meet us and fellowship with us. And they came over. It was very pleasant, and him and his wife was very pleasant. But then him and my dad sort of, now they didn't bump heads, but he was sort of trying to run the whole thing instead of letting the Lord do it. And that's what my dad always sort of hands everything over to the Lord and lets everyone speak. And like, you could just tell this man had a spirit, like he sort of wanted to run things. And if someone said something that he didn't agree with, he would just like full on just call it delusional. And it was just like, I was just getting a bit, oh, like, this isn't the right sort of spirit. Like, oh, this isn't the right sort of energy we should be getting from a deliverance minister. But then like a couple of days later, in the meantime, like he sends me heaps of videos to look at, and you know, corrects me and whatever he thinks he's doing. And so I saw this thing about Donald Trump, and I remember at our gathering he was fixated on this dream that he had about Donald Trump. But after he explained the dream, I got a deeper interpretation of it, that it wasn't what he thought it was. He was thinking that God was showing him that Trump is in this Trump is the chosen one, basically. And I was just like, it was a false light dream. Like, I just, that's what I got for a minute, but I didn't say anything. You know, I was just hoping that he might put that together. But I found a couple of things on Donald Trump that just popped up, and like a cult thing. So I just thought, you know, he sends me a lot of things. I'll just send him a couple of things as well. So I sent him these couple of things on Donald Trump, just expecting him to like be open about it or somewhat open, but straight away he was like really condemning. And I was just like, you know, just have a look at, you know, it's interesting, you know, Christians shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, he just, you know, oh, who are you? I've saved thousands of souls, fasted for 40 days. I've done this. And because you're smoking marijuana, your mind is, quote, cloudy. And that's basically why I'm wrong about Donald Trump. And, you know, I read him this long message that the Lord told me to write, and I wasn't nasty or spiteful or anything. I just try to lay out what I meant, and then I sent it to him, and he wrote back, "Were you stoned when you wrote that, Rhema?" And all this stuff, and I just, like, it broke me a bit. I was like, oh, this is the one person I really took a chance on to, like, I needed deliverance. And like, he just fought back in my face the second I disagreed with him. And that, like, really hurt me. And I was just like, after that, I was like, nah, like, I'm just letting me dad do deliverance on me. I'm just, like, I'm not letting anyone get involved, or just, you know, that's the last time that's happening. But in the last year, like, I could, you know, I could feel like God just wanted me to trust the believers again. But it's been so hard because every believer I get close to, like, my friends that turn believers, they run away because I'm not following God the way the church does, and they think it's too full on and they don't want to be around me. So a lot of people just leave, and I basically just have Daniel and my dad left. Like, even my family don't really speak to me. I'm Rhiannon and Claire now, so we got two new friends. But yeah, that's where I'm leading with this. When Rhiannon and Claire came into the picture and they told us they do deliverance, I could feel the Lord, like, wanting me to trust him. And then part of me already did, like, the second I talked to him, you know, you sort of get that spirit of truth from someone. And, yeah, I just, yeah, I've been slowly contemplating it the last couple of months because I've just, you know, I've been praying about deliverance still, and I just, like, I've been praying against whatever it is. And, like, I've been trying to believe that it's gone, but I think the things that have been happening in the last year in my life has been just planting, like, it's been a bit crazy. It's been things that I've seen on movies that have been happening to me. Like, about 4 months ago, I was picking my friend up from one of his boss's parties in Primrose, like an hour away from where I live, and I was going through this back alley where there was no houses, and this woman came out in the middle of the road with this massive flashlight and tried to, like, blind me as I was driving. I was just like, the Holy Spirit saved me, and just, like, I got past it. I was just like, what? Like, you don't even hear of murder attempts in Tasmania. Like, I was thinking, what was that? And my dad got the word from the Lord that it was a satanic assignment on my life trying to take me out. And I was just like, I've heard testimonies of things like, well, this never happened. Like, I never thought it would happen to me or happen around here. And then after that, like, the witches' covens from Mona, like the dude there that runs it, him and my dad know each other personally. And he's just like, he's been really after me dad and trying to really hurt me to hurt me dad. And I remember a few months, 6 months ago, my mum got me this stupid ring. I don't even know why I put it on. It had a cross on it. You know, it was a little cute Christian ring, and the only ring it would fit on was my wedding finger. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. The bride of Christ. Ooh. Anyway, I was wearing that for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, like this one day, I was just like, I was completely insane, just came out of nowhere. I was trying not to kill myself. I was like having this glass out, like, in my hand and outside, and I was like, what is happening? Like, I really want to stab myself and just take myself out. What's happening? And then I went to my dad's house, and he was like breaking all these curses off me from these witches' cupboards, they put the Bride of Satan curse on me, which makes me go insane. I try to hurt my mum and all this stuff. Like, it was just, it was real bad. It was like all these things that it's never happened to me before started happening. And I was just like, oh, you cannot trust. Like, I was, you know, I really need.
A lot of fear came in, didn't it?
And my dad didn't think I needed deliver. He didn't think it, he thinks I was going through travail. Like, he didn't really, like, maybe I shadowed my true condition from him because I was really ashamed of being in this condition.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit into the last 3 years that I've known Rhema, like since I was born again and that, I've seen something in her that I knew that I looked at her in a different way to what she's seen herself. It's always included others, but not herself. Like, she told me how to speak in tongues and I believed what she told how to do it. And I got down on my hands and knees one day when I was here by myself and done as what Rhema said, and I started speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit started just walking me through it, and that's it. So I understood, like, hang on a minute, she believes for others, but not for herself. But I just didn't see it as a demonic problem. I just thought it was, you know, like she needed a bit more faith or something, you know. Like, I'm only new to this stuff myself too, but yeah, now leading up to Claire and Rhiann. Like.
But yeah, so it got to the point where that the other week where, like, the Lord really put it on me that because I'm going down West Coast, you know, you really should do deliverance and take another chance. And okay, well, I was like, okay, I'm going to organise it in my own mind. I might just let Claire, but Rhiann and Daniel can wait in another room. Like, or, you know, you just, or maybe just Rhiann and Claire and Daniel can go away. Well, just, you know, but I was trying to organise all these things. And then all of a sudden the day came and they're like, oh yeah, can you jump on Zoom? David and Michael's going to join us. Lord, who's Michael? So who else you want to slap in this? Or just, you know, just like that. I had to click on, like, oh, Michael, the email. Oh, he's the guy that wrote the book. Okay. I haven't read his book. So I haven't, you know, I haven't done all this. And like, that's the problem where I didn't discern this other man first. And like, at that point, I literally had to stand on faith on what Rhiann, Daniel, Claire and David have like spoke about him, and you know, the two free witnesses.
David
was the man I was talking about, not you, Michael. David was the one I didn't realize. I was like, who's this? They're like, I didn't know David or, you know, Mark, you know. Anyway, but sorry, I'd get names mixed up when I'm nervous. So I just had to sort of believe Rhiann, Claire and everyone what they said. Okay, well, yeah, I've heard good reports from his book. He's against the vaccine. He's like all these, but yeah, okay, well, I just need to do it. And like, okay. And then I did it, and it was shaky at first, and I didn't think anything was going, I didn't have much faith in a Zoom deliverance, to be honest with you. I literally just went in like, oh gosh, like, here we go. But things really started happening. As soon as Michael said fear, like something, it was just like curdling, and it was just like, oh, that's it. Like, and all this, like, I've been feeling amazing the last week, really. I went through a bit of a dark time for a couple of days when something was trying to come back in. Like, I straight after that deliverance that night, like, I had a dream, and I think it was a nightmare, but it was pretty full on. I don't know what the nightmare was about, but then like I woke up in the nightmare, still in my nightmare, but I was like laying here in this spot in bed. And then he was next to me, but I was like, I could hear something in the corner of the room trying to talk to me, but like, I was like, I didn't want to get up and look, like, I could feel the spirit of fear trying to be put back on me in my dream world. Like, I looked, like, I just tried to wake Daniel up without saying anything. And as soon as I tried to wake him up, this thing like came flying around the bed and like grabbed me. And like, I didn't know what it was saying in the dream, but it was like trying to get me to repeat something it was saying. But I remember I woke up saying it, and then like, I was just like, oh, Daniel, are you awake? And he's like, yeah, I was just about to wake you up. Like, that sounded full. I was like, what was I saying? And it was like,
she was saying, I will not obey.
Yeah, it was trying to
I will
get
not
me.
Obey. And so something must have been trying, but three times she said it, I will not obey, I will not obey.
It was shaking me, trying to get me to obey, I wouldn't. And then, like, you know, after a day or so, that sort of broke off, but I felt like something really bad was going to come back in straight away. But I really
feel it was self-hate, self-loathing and paranoia.
And fear.
and fear.
Yeah, it was the main ones, and they're just ones that I just never thought I'd have, because I always declare, like, I do not fear, and, like, you know, all that stuff, so you don't really... You know.
And after the deliverance, her dad rang up and spoke to her, and he's like, he said, he knew, he could tell in her voice, he's like, what, how did you go over the deliverance, what's... He, and then we had a bit of a yarn, and that said, yeah, it was good. And he's like, oh, that's good. And then it must have kept in his mind when he hung up. He could just tell that Raymond wasn't the same. Like, and he rang back again, like, half an hour later, and he's going, how did you go with the deliverance? It was like, yeah, went well. And he's like, oh, no, well, you've changed. Like, he noticed the difference straight away. And, yeah, it's been real, like, liberating.
Yeah, when I was going through that little dark patch, like, I was kind of, like, the demons were trying to get me to doubt my deliverance. Like, no, of course that didn't work. And then, like, Dad rang up again. He's like, God told me you've changed. And I was like,
you're not going to be the same.
Have I? Okay, well, I'm going to believe that. Not these. So that really brought me out of it, just having that confirmation. Like, God said you've changed. So
you're not
going to
be the same.
You're not the same. You know, and I really have, I just really believe that, and try to step out in faith and just, believe what I see, and just believe the promises. And I don't think I've really believed that for myself. I've just believed that for other people. But I really want to thank Michael and David and
Amen.
Everyone for prayers.
Bless you all. Bless you all. You're really amazing.
Help me trust the saints of God again, and that there are good ones out there. They're not all religious fanatics. And I love you, Zoe. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
Bless you guys. Isn't it amazing? The fruits of the ministry speak for itself. And I love being on here and sharing testimonies. And just another little short one. I had over Halloween and all that period, I had a toothache. I hadn't had a toothache for a long time. And I had a toothache and I didn't think much of it. I didn't pray against it though. Like, so I didn't realize I don't have belief until someone points it out. Like, well, do you want to pray about it? And it's like, well, why didn't I just pray about it myself? But anyway, So Rihanna Claire, after talking to him last night, I'd had it for a couple of days, and I was talking to him last night, having a yarn just over a video call. And they said, right at the end of the conversation, I decided to say, well, no, I'll tell them I've had a toothache. I guess that's something different that I haven't had for a while. So I'll let them know. And then Claire and Rihanna said, do you want to pray about it? Because I've had a bit of a toothache myself, Claire said. And I was like, yeah, for sure, you know. And so we prayed about it and that, and then I was going to get into a big bowl of ice cream after we prayed for it, but I didn't. But I end up going and getting a big bit of steak, or a reasonable sized piece of steak, and cooking that, and just chewed it, just ate it. It was tough in that too, like, and I just, it was beautiful, like, and my tooth's fine, absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Like,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, well, I had a dentist appointment lined up for Thursday, and we were looking for someone to look after Raymond's dog and all that stuff. And Claire suggested, well, how about we just pray for it first? I don't think Claire was too keen on babysitting the puppy. But God bless you anyway, Claire. We love you heaps.
Oh, my. That is so awesome.
No, everything's worked out perfect, as it always does, it always does. God bless. Amen. All praises to the Lord. And glory to God. He's awesome. And,
thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your delivering power at all times. And we praise you for it, Father, because you're the one that did it. It wasn't anything we could do. But, Lord, we thank you for doing that for Rhema and Daniel both. In Jesus' name. And us, because now we've got some new ones here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, Rhema. When you came in and when you left was different as night and day. You came in bound up. You went home free, girl.
Amen.
Yeah, I did. I didn't even have to move out of bed. It was like,
oh. Yeah, I know. It was awesome.
Oh, just prior to that as well, Michael, I didn't tell you, so I don't know if Rihanna and Claire did. Just prior to Rhema receiving deliverance, she was down Hobart still, and I was laying on my bed just worshipping the Lord, and he showed me was at Rihanna and Claire's, in the little room out the back at Rihanna and Claire's. They were standing over Rhema praying over her, and I was sort of there looking at them and praying as well. And then God told me to get up and walk around behind them and get on my hands and knees and pray in tongues. So I got on my hands and knees and prayed in tongues, and then it changed to the spiritual. And I saw the Lord on his throne, and he got up off his throne and he walked down to the left-hand side of us and had a sword over us. And then I woke up. And then I told Ray, I rang, and he told me to tell Ray straight away. So I was still broken in it. Like I was bawling, broken, didn't really understand, but sort of, I knew I had to tell Ray about it. And
that gave me the confidence to go ahead with it.
I rang her up and told her. And then on her way up, she had a massive, massive attack, oppression. She caught oppression all the way and fought, and she rang me multiple times and was, you know, God bless her, wasn't meaning to be angry or nothing at me, but was just being, like, I couldn't offer the words, you know, like
cut up all my anything arms I said legs, wasn't good. Like falling over, like I was bleeding. Yeah, I was like,
the dog rang off on her and she fell over and cut herself up and she ended up making it. And that very next day, that's when the deliverance came with the Lord. So thank the Lord she got here at 9 o'clock or something at night, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And yeah, it was about 11 o'clock, I think, here the next morning. She was set free. Like,
God, praise God. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
David and I talked about it for quite a while.
It was pretty full on here. Raymer can't really remember it, but I heard a demon squeal and like tear out of her and breaks is just like and left when you were calling it out. It was,
yeah,
it was quite full on, but it was beautiful. Just the praise, you know, hearing how it operated was good. Yeah. It was a good learning.
I've never seen a body of Christ operating like one person was speaking in tongues, one person was praised, another person was casting.
There was no way any demon could stand. There was no way. There was no possible way in that atmosphere that one demon could even resist. Yeah. You know, like it was impossible.
That was awesome. It was awesome. Well, thank you all so much.
God bless you. So we love you all over there. We're standing with you in prayer. It must be a heavy time over there for you guys. So we love you all. Glory to God. He's going to get us through it. And how beautiful is that?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. All right. Anyone else? It's hard to meet one like that, isn't it? Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, I just wondered where we signed up for deliverance. I'd like to sign up for that. I'm really not joking. I really do need deliverance.
Okay. Well, all right. Why don't you do this? I tell you, we're real busy right now. But if you'll either text me or email would be better that you want that, and I'll. Well, David and I'll get together. We've got a couple of more to do also. And we can do that. Let's pray for Daniel right quick.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus right now, I command, the pain to leave. If there's pain, you go from Daniel in the name of Jesus. You don't have any right on him. You go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for any kind of fear of bicycles, go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Daniel is healed, he's delivered. And Lord, we thank you for putting joy back in him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and peace in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Amen. Glory to God, glory to God. I'd like to see a big old smile, Daniel. Look at that. Amen. Glory to God. He's a dandy. I look forward to seeing him in person. Oh, man. All right. Anyone else? Let's see. Vanita, y'all just go ahead and email me or anyone else. I'm still trying to set up a couple that's on the outreach here. I'm still trying to find a time for that. I tell you, it's just real, we're real busy. So just have patience with you. We'll get everybody next to you.
Yeah, Michael, can I just ask, is it the Faith email or is it the Michael at UBM?
Yeah, either one.
Either one? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Either one. Either one works for me. I get them both.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy. It's number two. You can put that down, Wayne.
I just wanted to share with y'all. The other day, Brooke and I were texting a little bit, and she had told me I had asked her if she had heard about fentanyl and, you know, being in Halloween candy, blah, blah, blah. And she proceeded to tell me that, yeah, she had heard about that and that a lot of people had died and stuff, you know. And, but she said when she was in the hospital after having Maverick and a cesarean and all, and she had gotten an infection anyway, one of the pain medicines that they were going to give her was fentanyl. And she's like, no, I'm not going to take that. And she said the nurse was even surprised that they would offer that to her, you know, and they also, she said she didn't, they wanted to send her home with oxycodone, which I think is the generic of Oxycontin, if I'm correct on that. And I believe it is. And she said she didn't want it, but they sent her home with it anyway. She hasn't taken any of it. And she's, you know, she said that she really has taken very little, if any, pain medicine. She must have it's just the Lord's blessed her. We'll just put it that way. You know, some people do have a higher pain tolerance, but, you know, I believe it's just the Lord's blessed her. But I just wanted to share that and just praise and thank the Lord and for that. And I thank you, Lord, for once again, thank you, Lord, for delivering all my family from Pharmakia. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds like she's getting a lesson in it. And the way they operate, they're selling drugs. That's what they're doing. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Nick. Go ahead, brother. I saw you about to raise your hand.
Yeah, I just got a prayer request. We're going up to Mayo because somebody on my dad's side of the family just passed away just recently, like last week on Friday. And it was like right out of the blue. She had an aneurysm. So we're going up there for the funeral.
Okay, Lord, we ask that you use this time to bring people to you, closer to you, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for peace in the family. And Lord, we just ask that you use this to bring people to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Nick. Brother, just go up there and be a light for Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, anyone else? Julie, it's number 3. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry, I just keep thinking of things. We did a video call with Kurt and Brooke and Blake and Maverick earlier. And Brooke was saying that, they were telling me that they had to take Blake to the doctor because she had a runny nose. There were 2 or 3 other kids in the daycare that apparently has this RSV respiratory something virus that's been going around, and some kids have been really getting sick, and they're talking about it being such a big deal, and that they're talking about having a vaccine for it. And I made a comment about, I wouldn't give that to her. And Kurt goes, no, it's just a virus. And they had her, they needed to have her tested for flu, COVID, and RSV. And I'm like, and she didn't have any of them. So she just had a cold and they had to take her to emergency or I forget what it's called. Those quick little places, urgent care, whatever. And, it's just a cold, and she had a little bit of a cough or whatever. So they're just giving her, you know, over the counter stuff or whatever. But anyway, so I just want to pray, since there were other children that supposedly have this, that for protection upon her. And I declare and decree and forbid it to come upon Blake in the name of Jesus. And I command that cold and runny nose and cough, all that stuff to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over her and giving her mommy and daddy much wisdom. They're wising up, Lord, and just continue to give them wisdom and hear things that causes them to trust Pharmakia less and less. And thank you, Lord, for delivering them. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Okay, Nick.
Yeah, my mom just got a text today from one of our friends. She lives in Clarkson. Her husband was on a roof and fell off the roof and went to the hospital and had, I don't know what it was exactly, but he broke something in his back.
Oh, my. You want to pray for him?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up Brian to you and a safe recovery and a safe surgery. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, for while he's out, give him a dream about you healing him. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, let it be an awesome time of recovery through your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Nick? Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
All right, brother. Okay, Barry or Merriman?
Yeah, we had something interesting over here. You know, we heat with wood primarily in the winter, and year after year we run through a lot of wood, and we had some real large pieces to deal with, and I finally decided we needed to get a log splitter and went over, picked the thing up in a pickup truck, and the truck is real high. It sits way off the ground, and this, you know, got it in the truck. They put it in the truck with a forklift. Got home, I don't have a forklift. I just don't. And this thing weighs 700 pounds. And there's, even if you got seven people on it, you'd have everybody trying to pick up 100 pounds all at the same time and get it out of there. So that wasn't feasible. So thought of different ways to try to get it done. Finally decided the best thing to do is go talk to my neighbor. he does all kinds of things. He's quite handy. And he had a set of ramps that would fit on the tailgate of the truck. And even then, it's really steep going down those ramps with that tall pickup truck. So we got the ramps. So it was Casey and my neighbor and myself to get this thing out. All of a sudden, FedEx Ground shows up to make a delivery to our house. And this guy looks different. He's not a normal driver. This guy was younger, looked almost exactly like a regular driver. And he came up. He dropped the box off, and he came back, and he was just hanging around. And we were talking about how we were going to get that thing out of the truck. And it was just amazing. The Lord sent, you know, this guy just out of the blue. And we got that thing out of the truck. Nobody got hurt. It didn't careen down the ramps real fast or anything, which is really surprising because you're moving something that heavy. They're kind of hard to, you know, slow down once they get going. And I'm convinced that this fellow that showed up was an angel, the guy in the FedEx truck, because he looked very similar to our driver, but he was different. He'd look at me and smile, and it's like, something interesting going on here. You know, I really just had that feeling in my heart that Lord sent an angel to help, and I think that him being there made it a whole lot easier. But praise the Lord, had a big problem how to get this thing out of the truck, very heavy, easy to get hurt. Lord sent the people, had the ramps, you know, available to us to use, and sent an angel to help. And it was just amazing. It was really encouraging. And we're just really thankful to get that project out of the way. There was no easy way to do it, but it became easy because the Lord got involved. It was a real blessing. So that's what I got. That's a real praise report.
Praise God. Yes, Lord. He does that. Praise the Lord. That is awesome. Good gracious. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Barry and Marilyn. and anyone else that needs that help. Glory to God. Good testimony. Anybody else? I did want to mention one thing, and I'm just going to mention it briefly. Y'all got my email about Greg. I got another email from him, and he's gone. He's trying to justify himself, and he's trying to get a hold of people and talk to them. Don't answer. Don't respond. That's a bad demon. He's into the faction. So please obey the scriptures. Okay. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, we are in Word, Women, and Authority. We're on page 18. Has anybody got any questions about Greg? Okay, good. We're on page 18, first real paragraph, even as babes. Raise your hand when you get there and we'll start. I got it. Pat's got it. Ben's got it. Andrew's still looking. Missy got it. Barbara got it. Joe's got it. Barry's got it. Julie's got it. Andrew finally got it. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll wait just another minute here or half a minute and make sure everybody else has got it. Page 18 of the PDF. And I believe it's also the book too, isn't it, Missy? Okay. All right. Thank you, Vanita. All right. Page 18. Even as babes in the Lord, my wife and I knew we must obey these verses. And God confirmed this with a special word to her. And you may recognize it from what John the Baptist said when his apostles left him so they could follow Christ. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. God said to my wife, you must decrease and he must increase. Actually, she even received the infilling of the Holy Spirit before I did, but that didn't give her the right to be the head of the family. And I am sure that this is true in some of your lives also. Now, I understand that there are situations where the husband just will not take the lead. And so the wife feels that she has to. But two wrongs do not make a right. We have a clear command from the Lord, folks. If the wife will pray and believe for her husband to fill that position of authority and then back off so that he has to make the decisions, he'll learn to take the lead. And I've been asked, so what about husbands who do take their position but use it very legalistically? That's still no excuse before the Lord for a wife to disobey her husband. Once again, if the wife will pray and believe for her husband to have a greater understanding of Scripture, the Lord will give him the wisdom he needs. We can trust God. And he will honor our prayers for our spouse. It's a sorry state that things are reversed in our society. We're in great corruption right now because if the husband and wife are not one, if they are not fulfilling their God-ordained roles, then they are a house divided. And when a society comes out of God's ordained order, that society is a house divided. And will not stand. Matthew 12 and 25. And knowing their thoughts, he, now this is Jesus speaking, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And David says America has fallen apart because of this. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands. Notice that this does not say unto some women's ministry or unto the preacher. And it has broken up a lot of families because preachers thought they had a right to exercise authority over somebody else's wife. It ain't permitted, folks. There's nobody more important to the wife than her husband, because the Lord is going to deal with the wife through the husband. Ephesians 5:22, wives. Let me stop here. Has anybody got any questions or comments on what I've already read? Yeah, Missy.
I just want to say that when you've prayed everything that you know to pray as a wife concerning your husband, all you can do then is just praise and thank the Lord that he's delivered from Ahab. That's just my two cents.
Well, that's good. But there's one other thing you can do, and that's back off and not do anything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's because prayer is the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. David says it's a whole lot easier for a wife to obey her husband when he loves her, because what you sow, you reap. Galatians 6:7-8, 2 Corinthians 9:6. And then verse 28 says, even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own body. He that loves his own wife loves himself. So for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband. David said, there it is again. There's that chain of command, the relationship of obedience and love that the church should have to Christ is the same relationship of obedience and love that a woman should have to her husband. When the church takes the lead, as she has in this day, judgment always comes. And this is also true when the wife takes the lead. She's not abiding in the safety and blessing of Christ because she's not abiding in that which she heard from the beginning. Praise God. Any questions? Pretty straightforward. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, so I guess in the words that you just quoted from the scripture in Ephesians, that this is happening in a church, this woman trying to take leadership, then it's in comparison, if Christ is supposed to be the husband and the church is supposed to be the bride, then there's something spiritually wrong there. So. And that's what it also says in 1 Corinthians 14, near the very back of it. also discuss his life there. So there's somewhere else where there might be a word in the church or something that's leading, and it's not the word of God. So that's the leading that I think of anyway. When something like that happens. That's what I was taught anyway, a long time ago. Praise God.
Okay. Let's stop for a moment and pray for Jeff McKinley. Y'all gonna believe with me? In the name of Jesus, right now, we command this spirit of infirmity off of Jeff. You go right now in the name of Jesus. Take all your symptoms with you now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for a complete deliverance from any kind of infirmity in Jeff's body. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that is now filtering out that stuff, and the angels are taking care of business in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Jeff is healed, delivered, and set free from any kind of infirmity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing Jeff in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. It's done, Terry. All right. Glory to God. All right. Let's see. Anybody else got a comment? Yes, Benita.
I was just going to say that it's interesting. In India, they put a lot of value in families living together and staying in one household. And that's really not scriptural, though. Is that wrong then to be like, to do that?
When you say family, what are you talking about?
Well, like the mother and father will have three kids and sons. The sons will all get married. And they'll all live in the same, under the same roof in the same house. Like the wife will go to her father's house, but the daughter will go to the man's house. But the men, when they get married, their wives come into their father's house and they all live together.
Well, if I can get along, I don't know. I don't know. Do they share the expenses?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Yeah, they pretty much share everything. I mean, still the father is the head of the household and the son, you know, it's not following what scripture says, I don't think, because then the husband isn't the head.
So the father is, he king of the house.
Right.
And the women have to do what he says. Makes no difference whether they're his daughter or not.
Right, right. And they would listen to him, I think, more than their husbands, because he's the authority there. So
is that the Hindu religion?
I don't know if it's religion or just culture, maybe.
Culture.
Yeah.
I don't know. How's it working for them?
I don't know. They take a lot of pride in it, that their families are very close. I guess I don't know what their divorce rates are, so I'm not sure. I know it's like my cousin is in that situation, and it's really hard on her. And I mean, yeah, her husband doesn't have any authority to put limits on what the mother and father.
Are you talking about Christian households, or are you talking about just in general?
No, just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm's right. There is a lot of suffering for the daughter-in-laws.
Yeah. Well, you have to pray for them. Just have to pray for them, because they're not, you know, they're not under the Bible, under the God's laws.
Yep.
That's not scriptural. You know, when the daughter-in-laws can't depend upon her husband to be her protector and not his dad.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that was how it was in the Old Testament as well, right? It is a bride, the father of the bridegroom says, go get your bride, and they come and live under the father's house. It was the ancient culture. Things are going wrong because of, sin and disrespect, right? So everybody, when the bride goes into the groom's home, she becomes the daughter of the house, and she should be given the same place as the daughter. But since, because of human fallibility, it goes wrong, is what I would say.
Yeah. Your microphone is overdriving, Sunil.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Thank you, Sunil. Michael says it's similar in the Middle East. Yeah, Pat.
So, I don't know if this, I had to step out of the room for a minute, but so I kind of lost track of what we're talking about. But I can see how that scenario would work as long as the father or the oldest, the father, the guy on the top, was sensitive to not overreach his authority and destroy the structure of authority that is there. In other words, just he has to respect and use the chain of command. It sounds a little militaristic, but he has to respect that chain of command coming down, as well as, and so in doing that, he violates that structure by simply going directly to the wives of his sons, so to speak, and commanding or giving them direction if he's not going through the son. And I would think, I'm speaking purely of structure here. I'm not speaking of whether it's right or wrong or whether.
Can you see that the only way that it would work is if every one of them were true Christians striving to be like Jesus? That'd be the only way it could work.
Correct. I guess the point I was just making is, though, we're speaking or talking in this message or this book about wives and how they handle the structure of authority above them with the husband, etc. And obviously the concept is that God has created that structure of authority, and it works both ways. It works from the top going down just as well as it works from the bottom going up. And I think it's probably significant to let that bear in mind as how the Lord chooses to deal with wives, that he, in order to support that structure or not violate that structure, he wants to work through the husband in to a certain degree.
Everything. Everything.
Well, okay. Again, it's all through faith, by faith, that the woman or the wife needs to be able to submit and receive from God through her husband to a certain degree. I'm looking at the structure is all. So yeah. I know that bears against a lot of, it tends to bear against our flesh, men and women. Because quite frankly, the Ahab spirit or the spirit in men that would tend to allow the woman to take control of the whole situation is also a position of passivity in the man as he is kicking up and allowing the ship to, you know, be guided by the woman, and we'll see how this works out and let it be as it is. It's kind of a, you know, a passive position in the man. And unfortunately, men and husbands and fathers or whatever can take that role and give it up just because in some sense it's easier to do. However, I think that God wants that husband to be able to also take proper lead, you know, become a proper leader, a proper provider, a proper protector, and take responsibility in that relationship. And quite frankly, I'm speaking of myself here, in order to provide what the woman and the wife needs through that relationship. So I guess it's, to me, I can see it working both ways, working from, you know, the top going down and the bottom going up. So anyway, I guess it through Babylon.
Okay, Andrew.
You know, Laban had two daughters, and he married both of them off to the same man, Jacob. And, He pursued Jacob and his when he left and his the entire family there, but the wives were going to stick with her, both of them, to their husband. When Laban caught up to Jacob in the wilderness there, he both wives subjected themselves to their own husband. Out of respect for him and not Laban. So I think that says something there too, a type and shadow of what I think some of these verses are trying to get across to us. Anyway.
Amen. I just
wanted to throw that in.
Okay. Anybody else? Are we clear on this? The clarity is this, the wife head is her husband, not grandpa, not daddy. It's her husband. Okay. And the husband's duty is to support his wife. And to love her like Jesus loved the church. And how can he do that when his dad is dictating everything that they want done, that he wants done. Okay, let's go back. Rebellion and making excuses. Uh-oh. This is a good part. Yeah, Claire.
Just want to ask a little question, just quick, about that last bit that you said. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, honor your mother and father so that it will go well with you, so that you can have a long life. Okay. Those are good. Then the child becomes an adult. Where do we lie then? How can you honor? And I mean, I'm not asking for me because I've worked this out for myself, but I'd like to hear from those who have walked this longer and probably walked it better with more grace. Both the man and the woman, how do you continue to honor your parents without them continuing to dictate in your lives as a married couple? Because I think that's something that a lot of young families struggle with.
Well, I'm going to let somebody answer that because I didn't have that problem.
That was cut short very quickly in our marriage, only by the grace of God. But I know there are other people who deal with that. So I'm asking.
Somebody want to answer that? I can tell you how I would deal with it, as a Christian, not as a heathen. what I'm saying. But as a Christian, you lovingly tell them that this is my family, and here's what the scriptures say, Dad or Mom, whoever it is trying to dictate policy in your family. We are a unit. We are as one. And you go through the scriptures and tell them, this is what the Lord wants us to do. And any interference from the outside with my wife is not scriptural from you or a preacher or anybody else. I am the one that has that authority. And if you want anything done in this family, we have to do what the scriptures say. Now we'll pray about it and see what the Lord says. And that's what'll happen. That's the way I do it. William's got the answer. Let's see what he said. All right, Will.
No, I don't have the answer. I'm also very, yeah, that's a tough, that was a tough verse for me. And I'm still sort of trying to figure out that it's like children honor your parents in the Lord. Wasn't it like the promise? I don't know the whole verse, was children honor your parents in the Lord so you have a long life. So, and yeah, I moved back under my dad's roof 10 years ago when I came to the Lord. So that scripture has been on a 30-year-old. I'm almost 40 now, and I still can't seem to escape that one because even though I'm a grown up, but I'm still under their roof. You try and honor them as much as possible. I'm just like, the other day I looked up that, what does that child mean? You know, children. And it seems to, I just want to like get some freedom from that, from that verse, because I don't know where, if it means being a child. I looked at the original. I'm trying to find the original meaning of that specific word. Does it mean a child, like a physical child, or does it mean children of parents? So even until they are 90, you try and honor them, and you might be in your 70s, you know, you still have to sort of honor them as best as you can. I don't know when that starts and when that contract, I don't know when it's bounding, is that the word? So yeah, I'm so careful. I can't find another verse that says, oh, you're grown up now. You don't have to listen anymore. You're free. I'm still waiting for that one. So I've been trying to be as submissive as possible, but it's been tough.
Well, William, is your dad a true Christian?
Like born again, baptized,
and following the scriptures.
I'd say he's come a long way with us. He loves David's teachings. He'd listen to it. He never ever. I can play it all day long in the house. He loves listening to it. He'd always just say, "David, this guy knows his word." So. Yeah, I don't know how to define. He's grown, like just to be able to listen to David's stuff and not reject it. You know,
that's major.
That's major. So I don't know exactly I've got speakers in every room of the house. He doesn't mind. I can play the word 24/7. So that's where he is. He hasn't asked to be baptized, but I do see him as a very serious Christian. You know, he's come a long way. Yeah. So that's like, I think where I did change our lives to be more in the Word. Because I think even as wives, you have to read your Bible. If your husband tells you not to read your Bible, there you cannot submit to it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
If you don't read your Bible, you die spiritually. So that's something that a wife, you're not allowed to submit. If this is very dangerous water, so be very careful. You cannot submit if he wants you to commit an abomination. So let's just work out what
you can't sin.
Yeah.
And not reading the word is sin.
Yeah. So I did take authority to really revamp all of our lives to be in the word more. I don't think I regret that. I'm very happy about that. It was a bit of a kicking and screaming, but I'm still glad I didn't submit there. But yeah, I do try, even with my gran, I did take care of my gran for 10 years and I tried to be as submissive as possible, keeping to that children obey. I don't see where you ever free from that unless it intervenes. It's a difficult one. I'm exactly where Claire is. She's got, I think she's might be further. I think she got her own answers. I'm still just, if it might seem to me that that word does refer to physical children being under, let's make it 21 to be safe. If I look at that definition in the ancient manuscripts, what that children means, does it, I haven't done the, really gone that far yet, but I just actually want to go to the ancient manuscripts and see what is that word children. Does it refer to being a child of someone or actually being a physical person under 21?
Well, do we allow, let me just throw something out there. Do we allow our parents to cause divisiveness in our family? Do we allow them to take over and do the things that you're supposed to be doing? No. Uh-uh. So there are limits to what mom and dad can do. Actually, there's lots of limits because you're now, if you're married and got a family, if you're now one in Christ with your wife or your husband, that's the family structure right there. Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, I think I'm not quite sure what the question is here as far as when the parents, it is honoring the parents. Automatically translate into obeying the parents' wishes or demands or whatever. I'm speaking relating to this question because if a married couple is now living in the household of the parents. I guess this is where the context of where this came from. Now there's a different authority structure in play. And I think that, the new wife and husband within this structure now form a different, a separate structure in and of itself. And the original father of the family, so to speak, now has to change the way that he responds to this new structure. He has to respect that new structure as well. So I heard it said once that that in this transition of which we're kind of speaking of, is that the parents now assume a different role of authority, and that's the authority of a counselor and not a ruler, so to speak, because now, again, that person in authority is now dealing with a different structure. So, I don't know if that answers or clarifies or whatever the thing, but again, for people underneath that, a husband and wife that would be underneath that structure, I would think that it would be wise for the husband to clarify the new structure, the new rules of operation, so to speak, and make sure that everybody on the team was on the same page of how this will now function and operate. And of course, you know, if people don't agree, then that's a different subject. That's a different, you know, hit the road type of subject, I guess. But anyway, not sure if that clarifies or muddies the water, but there it is.
All right. Let's see what Lana has to say. Oh, Theo, I think that's Lana. Go ahead, Lana.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share what the Lord has taught me and showed me over the years regarding honoring my parents. It's something I struggled very much with because my parents had controlled and influenced most of my life. And when I married, I quickly began to realize many things that my parents were not in the right about. And I struggled with knowing what to do about these things, because I wanted to call my parents out, but I did not feel right about that. And what I've come to understand since then is that when a woman is in her place and completely submitted to her husband, and the husband is in his place and submitted to Christ, then the honoring of the parents happens. When I was not in my place, when I was still struggling with the Jezebel spirit, it only took two words of my parents to bring contention into our marriage and confusion into me. And I would argue with my husband to defend my parents because they said something. And I was just, I couldn't help but be influenced by all their opinions. But that slowly fell away as the Lord worked out my submission to my husband. And thankfully, my husband never had a problem with submitting to Christ and not being swayed by his parents or my parents. So in short, that kind of takes care of itself. And I also wanted to mention, I could be wrong, but I, from what I understood, because I've always wondered about this scripture too, I struggled to understand how it applied to me and my parents when I was still struggling to, with the influence my parents had over me during my marriage. I thought that it said, like in the Ten Commandments, it said to obey your, that there's a part of scripture, there's a part of scripture that says that we are supposed to honor our parents. And then another part of scripture that says we are to obey our parents in the Lord. And I've come to understand that that particular scripture that says to obey your parents in the Lord is speaking about our spiritual parents. And that the one that says to honor your parents, period, is the one that's speaking about our physical parents. But I'd definitely be open to correction on that.
Okay. Thank you, Lana. That was good. Claire, did you have something you wanted to share? I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I had my hand up. I was kind of thinking, like, by way of example, this is the example that I'd give. When we were very young in the Lord and very young married, Rian's dad kept on going on about getting a dog. Now you're a family. Now you need a dog. And I was like, oh, Lord, help me. And so Rihanna got very excited and got this dog, this little puppy. And we were so green and so pathetic in so many ways that we picked the one that runs up to the pen. And, you know, so it was a super excited dog, which you shouldn't do. You just shouldn't. And but what did we know? And so we had this dog. And I was, like, still waking up for my babies in the night. I only had two girls at the time. And they were little. And I just, I obviously had Jezebel, and I said, well, Rihanna, I've got two babies. This can be your one. Like, I don't know how to wake up for a puppy. I just can't. Like, I'll deal with the kids and you can deal with the baby, like the dog. I don't know. And obviously that didn't work because he got up and I would get up with him and all of this. But this thing made such a mess. We called him Caleb. We anointed him. Like, we were, you know, we wanted to be better than what we were at that point. And after about 10 days, I had a little bag packed for the dog and then a little overnight bag for myself. Not that I was ever going to leave or anything, but I just said to him, look, this, I don't know, something's got to go. I'm not confessing, right? Like, I can't do this for another day. I can't have the dog and the kids, and I don't know how to do this, and I feel stupid, and I feel like it's too much. And so he said, okay, I see that. I see it. I see it's breaking you. I'm sorry. Let's sell the dog. Great. Sold the dog for a profit. I love it when it works out that way. And so we had Caleb for 10 days. But here's the thing. My behavior was disgusting. It was obviously disgusting. That's fine. There's no doubt about that. And I've repented. I don't behave like that anymore. Only by God's grace. But it was that outside influence. And that's what I'm talking about. Is sometimes we don't even know in our marriages what those outside influences are and how much they influence us. And that's the thing that we have to come against. Because when you grow up in a family that's particularly nice, where there's lots of love or there's lots of acceptance or whatever, then you're probably more prone to want to, like, just play happy families. But if you come from a very volatile family and you know, well, look, I can't behave like that, that's not godly, then you can sometimes see very clearly where those ties need to be cut. So all I'm praying for all the young families that might be listening, and myself included, is that we would see our parents not as these ultimate authorities and everything, but that we would see our parents, if they are Christian, as fellow believers, brothers and sisters, working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and not doing everything that they ask or inquire of us without question. And that if we have tumultuous relationships with our families, Lord, my prayer is this, that we would be able to cast aside the flesh and see these people who are perhaps unsaved in need of a savior, and extend such love and grace to them, and give them such the love of Christ that can only come by grace, that you can't do in and of yourself, and put, you know, put all the forgiveness on the line, put all the hard feelings on the line, and say, Lord, you loved me when I was a sinner. And so that's what I'm like, that's what my prayer is for the young families. And for, well, it doesn't even have to be a young family, but I have a specific love for young families because I feel like I'm still one. But yeah, that's kind of where I was at. It's more that misplaced respect or misplaced obedience or misplaced honor, when we shouldn't go beyond what the word requires, especially if they are just plain unsaved. Anyway, that's where my thought processes were going. It would help the marriage because it would help the husband and wife to honor each other and be, if there was less outside influence.
Amen. Leave the puppies until the people, the boys and girls get up out of age to can take care of it. Go ahead, Will.
No, what I actually was thinking is, it just made me think, when I was more submissive, I saw that if you have to be submitted to someone that is not a believer, it's always about keeping you out of the word, at times, you know, always decisions, life decisions that keeps you out of the word. And also, everything is about keeping you out of the word and not in the word. I'm just curious for women that are under unbelieving husbands. When are they, how does Bible time work? And is there like a specific time when you can tell your husband, that's my study time and I'm not submissive in that area? It's just something that I'm curious about.
Well, I'm not, I don't have that problem. I let one of these ladies do that. You want me to just pick somebody? Yeah, Benita.
I get you. I guess you're talking about, I'm one of those, you know, my husband's a believer, but he's not like believing the same thing I am about Christ since I've come to UBM. But he's just, he's always been really easygoing with me and just letting me, I don't know, not putting any pressure on me in my life and stuff. And so that's been a real blessing to me. So when I want to study, when I want to read, he lets me do it. He doesn't, you know, sometimes he might complain, you're on a call again. So I'm like, yeah, just for another minute. But he's just really been good about that. So that is a blessing for me that he is. So praise the Lord.
Okay. Oh, okay. Y'all see what Claire put in there? She said there's a teaching on that. David's got a few chapters in Destructive Demon Doctors about a woman who was unequally yoked and how the Lord delivered her. Praise the Lord. I hadn't read that book yet. Anybody want to venture out?
The reason why I mentioned it, Michael, was when I was being very submissive, it's like it's just like all chaos broke out. More workloads, unnecessary workloads, crazy things to just create more chaos and less time in the Word. And I'm just today, I'm sort of sad that I didn't put my foot down and say, no, that's not going to happen, because that will definitely influence my time with the Lord. And I didn't see it back then, you know?
Yeah.
And also life decisions. Some life decisions, like creating total havoc. I wonder what one should do there. Like say, whoa, that decision's going to cause total havoc. I can't go along with it. You know, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I'll just have to jump in here again. I'm kind of in that predicament. My husband really, really, really badly wants a dog. And I just know it's like Claire, you know, it's like my kids are grown up and everything, but it just takes a lot of time. And I know where I want to spend my time right now. My phone died.
Okay.
Can I pray for you, Vanita, about this?
Yeah, go ahead, Claire.
Lord, you've given us everything right now for our immediate happiness. That is what contentment is to be content with whatever you've given us, and for us to find joy in all circumstances. Father, I know Frank is a reasonable man. And I know he has love in his heart for you, Lord, and for Vanita. And we are trusting that it is going to blossom into beautiful, Jesus-like faith. We are all standing with Vanita for that. But Father, I come to you now and I pray that you would keep the sensibilities within Frank, and that you would give my sister Vanita the sweetest, most gentle, long-suffering and forbearing spirit, so that if he makes a decision, she never has to pack an overnight bag, that Jezebel spirit is truly gone, long gone, and that she will suffer joyfully. But also, Father, that they would be able to have honest conversations with each other, we then can speak and he will listen and she will submit. And it will be like a slice of heaven, Lord, that comes down and is manifested in their marriage. That is my prayer for Vanita and her husband. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe with it. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Vanita and Frank. In Jesus' name. All right. I guess we're set in that, aren't we? Praise the Lord. We got that all worked out. I'm ain't looking at you, Julie. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I just want to add to that prayer. Father, all just right. Thank you, Lord, that you love Frank and Vanita, and you see Vanita's faith for him and all the things that she is wanting and desiring, and to be obedience to your word. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if a dog is not needed right now in their life, Father, I pray you take that desire out of Frank.
Amen.
He'll just change his mind. He'll have a change of mind, change of heart about wanting a dog right now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just ask a question real quickly? My phone died, so I missed a part of the prayer that Claire said, but I'll go back and listen. But, you know, now that we're going through this woman and the word and the word women and authority and the Jezebel thing, I've really been kind of feeling like I'm not obeying his desire, because he still has that desire. And he brought it up the other day, because we've been going through this book and I've been talking to him about it. And he said, you know, I could, you know, just put my foot down and say that we're going to get this dog and, you know, you just have to do what I say. But, and he could, and I guess he's trying to honor me, but I feel like I'm not honoring him by doing it. But I know how much work it's going to be. So I don't know.
Well, ask him if you couldn't just talk about the dog and between yourself and him and decide who's going to do what with the dog. You know, maybe we could talk about that, Frank. I don't know. What do y'all think? And if you're going to leave, Frank, maybe you could take it with you. I don't know. You know.
He's in this position where he, in his mind, thinks he can do all these things. Like, I can take it for a walk and I can take care of it. But, you know, he just can't physically right now. So, you know, it does all fall back on me. But he mentally thinks he can do all that stuff. I don't know. So.
Well, let me just say this. Here's some word of wisdom. If you're going to get a dog and he's putting his foot down to get a dog, get one already house broke and trained. No, I'm serious. Yeah, get one house broke and already trained. That way you won't have so much trouble with it.
Amen.
Okay, William.
No, before Julie prayed the prayer, I also sort of got that to pray for a change of heart. And I got a funny revelation. It was like, not a funny one, but a good one. It's like nothing in this world can stop us from manifesting Christ 100%. The Lord will defend that to the last. We must manifest Christ to the 100%. Nothing on this earth or any event or any choice can stop that.
Right.
So we can defend that. And it was just, I got like the heart of kings is in the Lord's hand. And I also got to pray for a change of heart.
Amen. Yes, I'm Rada. Hey, girl.
Hi, thank you. Just what you're going through, Vanita, because I've had my struggle a little bit for a few years, but I can see Andre's, he's coming to Christ and I can see that the hunger's there and, you know, and I know God's dealing with it, but I used to think, once he's fixed, I'm fine. But God had a lot of dealing with me to do. Yeah. And one of the things that struck me when I had to repent to Andre was that I then had to repent for resisting Christ. So what did submission look like? It was something I struggled with. I come from a family of very strong women. Well, a different kind of feminism, not like the one I found here, but still, you know, and so I was striving to be submissive in trying to understand and, you know, deliverance from Jezebel and reading the word and trying to obey a lot on my own strength. And at some point, you know, submission became an idol. And then at some point, my husband became an idol, you know. But one thing, though, was I did have a hunger to submit. And I did ask God to help me. I think is it Isaiah 57 that says, the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I will set my face like a flint and I will not be ashamed. And one thing was really amazing was when I did ask for help, and I kept asking for help, it wasn't just once, God opened up my eyes and now I can see Christ in my husband. It doesn't matter what he's doing or not doing. I can actually see Christ in my husband. And these things I read about Jesus and I go, oh yeah, I wonder if he does that. And I feel a love for him and a reverence for him in that way. So I'll just pray for the same for you, if that's okay. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your kindness. I thank you for the gift of submission. I thank you, Lord, for the example that we have in your own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That no matter what happened to him and what was done to him, Lord, that he didn't talk back and he didn't fight back and he didn't stand up for himself, but he submitted and he trusted you. And you delivered him. Even as, Father, when Sarah trusted you and obeyed her husband, you delivered her. And so, Lord, I thank you for Vinita and her husband and everyone else, Lord, including myself, who is still going through this journey. And I thank you for the clarity that comes from the truth in your word, because it exposes the darkness. The light exposes the darkness. And so I thank you for the light. I thank you for the light that opens up our eyes, Lord God, that we might see as you want us to see, not as we've been taught or as we think. And Father, I thank you that you provide for every situation. And I thank you, Lord, for the things that are hard, because then we really need you. And I give you praise and glory, Lord, for giving Vinita a heart that's going to open up her eyes, Lord, to reverencing and submitting to the Christ that is already in her husband. And I believe it in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you, Father, in it, for that revelation in Jesus' name. And I give you praise and glory, Lord, because only you can do it. So I thank you, Lord God, that our eyes are on the cross and that whatever you put on our paths, Lord, as women, as wives, as mothers, in the path of submission, that just as John said, we understand they must increase, we must decrease, Lord. And even as the church, you, Lord Jesus, must increase and we must decrease. And that, Father in heaven, we're given the patience, the love, the obedience, the kindness, the gentleness of heart and spirit, and the meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ in being servants, and only the kind of servants that you, Lord, can create. And so I give you praise and glory, even as I lose that blessing on each and every one of us in Jesus' name, and I receive it in faith, Father in heaven, giving you praise and glory because it is your works. And you're doing a good work in us. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for that, for all of these women and men too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anybody else? I'm not going to read anymore. Let's mark it. Somebody mark it. Yeah, Isaac or Mariana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, everybody. Hey, man, how are you? Hey, you guys. You know, these teachings have been helpful. And they've been helpful. And it's kind of manifested at work, I'll explain. I was actually working with one of the technicians, and we were just, you know, he's doing a lot of training and training me too. You know, it's just a lot of different processes. So we're talking, and he says to me, cause you know, we often talk about the Lord, and he really enjoys it thoroughly. You know, I kind of listen to what he has to say, and, you know, it's good, and it's good. I don't know. It's just real, real nice. Anyways, he told me one morning, he said, you know, man, he said, my wife mentioned something to me the other day. And, he goes, for Christmas, she wants a Bible, but she wants a women's translation Bible. And he goes, I've never even heard of that. And I said, yeah. I said, huh. And I let him talk. I said, you know what? You know, just thank God that, you know, that he's shown me to have grace. He's been graceful to me, and he was, and that, I can be graceful with others. Thank the Lord for that. And, I said, you know what? I said, you know, you really don't have to wait to Christmas. I said, there's this pretty good Bible. I have an extra one. It's a numeric English New Testament Bible. I said, let me bring you one of those tomorrow. I said, why don't you look into that? I think you really like it. I said, you know, and it's what's really cool about it, because I like to throw a little, you know, fact with it. I said, what's real cool about it? I said, it was, I said, you know, the Hebrew Old Testament scrolls and the Greek New Testament scrolls had a numeric pattern, and that was discovered by Dr. Ivan Penin. And of course, nobody knows who that is. You know, they're like, oh, huh? And I said, yeah, he tutored Albert Einstein. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Some notoriety there, right? And so I brought him in this book, and I had to go do some other stuff, meeting stuff. I don't know. I can't really remember. Anyways, so I come back, and he was reading it, and he read it. He goes, you know, these first few pages are amazing about that numeric pattern. I said, I know. Isn't that amazing, man? I said, it really blew my mind when I read that. I said, because you just don't hear about it. They don't talk about this stuff. And I said, and man, it is just so much, it's just an incredible faith builder. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So he brought it home to his family and his wife. I was real excited about that. You know, real thankful that the Lord is having these conversations about the women word and authority. I may have mixed that up, but you get it anyways. But it was good to divert that, you know, because there's enough translations out there as it is. And I don't think I got to explain how that would look. But, you know, he got a nice Bible out of it, one more accurate, and it was real graceful. And that's all that had to be said. That's all that had to be said. We just left it like that. That's all. Thank the Lord.
Amen. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the ASV and the numerics put together as one Bible. In the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, that'd be awesome. And then somebody take out all the old archaic English pronouns out of it. But anyway. Okay. Anybody else before we close out? Got a prayer request, anything? Well, let me pray. I once got by surprise. Well, I know him, Dr. Panini. I was like, Panini? Well, yeah, Penanini. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful book. It's teaching men and women what it is to be a husband or a wife in your kingdom. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful turnaround, not only in this particular group, but in the ones that are listening out there on the internet too. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us to create a family of God. The body, as you want it seen, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right, folks. God bless you. We'll see y'all later.